This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
Central.com Friday morning.
Oh, yes.
Sex Talk with Jonty Serlin Tamar and Bruce and Sibu.
Hello.
Good morning.
None of you need a shout. I'll just drop that volume a little bit.
It's my theatrical projection voice.
Fancy. Skype is on. Are you there, Tamar? Let's do that again.
I'll try that again. I am.
There we go. That's fantastic. How are you?
Very, very good. But it sounds really exciting in the studio. What are you dropping there?
I don't know what these two are doing.
Dropping here. It like it's hot.
I don't know what they're doing.
Brucey's there. Yeah, that team is dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, we're twerking as we speak, but yeah. Internally.
Yeah.
Internal tweaking.
I don't see any twerking going on
it's
here.
Internal.
Yeah, internal twerking.
Okay, well, if you're going to sit and play with yourself all morning, then that's fine.
Tantric twerking. I kind of like that.
Twerking. Tantric twerking.
There's something we can start.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, I have to, because nobody in the world has come up with that yet, you know?
Well, I just did, and I think it's something that you should be the head of from now on. Tantric twerking.
I don't know. Isn't twerking all about the motion of the bum?
It's inner Shakti movement.
Yes. Yeah,
So you're going to have to create like an internal vibration
through your bum. Okay, that's
an event. Getting like really interesting. Yeah. Internal vibration through your bum, and then this is going to get somewhere so out of hand.
You've got to extend the satisfaction that you get from your bum.
But at some point, it has to become an actual movement. So it has to come from inside to outside.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure it out.
Kundalini.
Okay. I will teach you.
Thank you.
I will teach you.
I'm challenging you by the end of the show on our podcast page. I'm going to do a little video to show my version of it. Internal twerking.
Okay.
We have a problem there, so let's try that again. Okay. In the meantime, I'm going to do this.
Dirty dictionary word.
Today's dirty dictionary word is perfect for me. It is one of my philias and fetishes. Trypsolagnophilia.
Trypsolagnophilia.
I'm so out.
Me too.
Well, I think trip is usually something to do with hair.
I've given you
and
a clue.
Lango
I've given
is
you a clue.
Something
me,
to do with
me.
Do you like licking people's hair?
No, it has nothing to do with hair.
Oh.
Philia is that affiliation? So
love, or like you enjoy it? Affilia, like necrophilia.
Right. Okay.
You like having sex with dead bodies.
That's the first thing that came to his mind.
I know.
That's just
trips of. Okay, trypsolacro...
Languidly licking someone's eyebrow.
Trypsolagnophilia. Nothing to do with any of those things.
Oh.
Okay, back to school for the lot of you.
Okay.
With a spanking.
Yes. Ooh. Yes, Daddy.
There we go. Sexual fear and freedom we are talking about. And I had an incident this week that kind of brought it to the fore again. And it's what do we fear about pleasure? So we had a venue in Cape Town for water flow massage, which due to people complaining about various things is not available anymore. But you have to think, what are people actually complaining about?
Did they complain, like the people that were in the workshop, or people that own the studio?
Apparently, it was people connected to the studio in some way.
But they weren't going to be attending the workshop.
They have nothing to do with the workshop whatsoever.
Oh, that's the best. People that are complaining, but they haven't even been there.
Yeah, so, you know, and it's just something. It comes up again and again, and it's like... And I was really thinking about it and kind of getting to a point of, what is it that we fear about pleasure? Because we do fear pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
We fear it more than anything else.
Yeah.
We fear our genitals more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not even looking.
No. No, and everybody's sitting here with clothes on. Tamar's at home, so I have no idea if you're sitting there without clothes on. You know, we sat here without clothes on a few weeks ago, and Bruce was not here for the nude show.
I wasn't.
Well, I wasn't invited, sir.
No. Oh, that's a pathetic excuse, too. Ooh. I wasn't invited.
I would have come. I'm Zulu. I have no issues with nudity of any sort.
Okay, well, I think we have to do another one just for you, then.
Thank you.
So, it just is fascinating as to why we fear pleasure. So, what do you guys think about that?
Wow, where do you start? I think one of the big fears associated with pleasure is that I think we're already anticipating the pleasure coming to an end before it's even started. So, or we fear that after the pleasure will come pain.
Yeah.
So, for example, I might be fearful of, there's this really amazing guy, he's interested in me, he's texting me, he's really keen, he wants to date me, but I'm scared because I know that, you know, if we start dating, there'll probably be a lot of pleasure involved, but I'm already anticipating the potential for pain thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean the end of the connection?
Yes, it's going to end, it's not going to work out.
I think people are also fearful of pleasure because they feel it's a bit selfish to want to be pleasured, because not everyone sees pleasure. Obviously, pleasure is amazing, but people kind of feel maybe it is a bit selfish because it is about me. It is about, you know, me getting my rocks off or my high.
Hmm.
So
I think maybe from a rich, you know, a religious perspective as well. I mean,
a
pleasure is associated
and a cultural. Perspective, definitely.
Shameful
to enjoy
pleasure. So now we're getting somewhere real.
Mm.
That it's shameful to enjoy pleasure.
Mm. Mm.
So we've been inculcated with that, and I think more from religion than from anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because biologically, we are designed to have enormous pleasure.
Yes.
We have this incredible amount of nerve endings in our body that are about pleasure.
Mm.
And in terms of our bodies, everything has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think so. Coming from my background, as a woman, African women's bodies were made to pleasure another person, not for our own pleasure.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So, pleasure is seen as something that you give to someone else. But you, it's not about you.
So it's not your pleasure. It's somebody else's pleasure.
Yes. Correct.
So there's obviously a level of fear with that because it's not about you.
Yep.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm. We also are scared of things that we've never really, things we don't know. And pleasure is not something we've been familiar with. We have been familiar with when we were very small, but then we kind of got a taboo all from all fronts about pleasure. So then it became just, you know, don't go there. Do not go there.
So we limit the amount of pleasure that we can experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have too much of it.
Yeah, well, there's also some danger associated with pleasure. I mean, you know, if I was spiking heroin right now, I would experience extreme amounts of pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to eat junk food for the next 48 hours, I would experience short-term amazing pleasure. So a lot of things that are pleasurable in the short term have terrible long-term effects. Mm. So I think there's that as well. You know, if I go out and just shag anything with a heartbeat, I'll experience pleasure. But once again, the outcome is probably going to be pain.
Mm. So I want to go a little bit deeper with this because everything everybody's saying is absolutely correct, but I think there's something deeper in this, and that for me has become the transformational power of pleasure. Because in deep states of pleasure, we free ourselves from so much of society and the cultures that we have grown up with. We start to question the precepts of society. We start to question the way society is set up and structured. We start to question what we have bought into in terms of relationships, in terms of politics, in terms of finance. And in these deep states of pleasure, we free ourselves from so many of these. And I think there's an incredible fear of that because of where it's going to take us.
And we're scared to learn. We're scared to open ourselves up to it. You know, if someone says to you, you know, get out of your box, you don't want to get out of that box. You're comfortable. Even though you probably will be better outside of the box. We're scared of the unknown.
You need to be vulnerable to enjoy pleasure. I mean, so for example, if you're being intimate with your partner and you know that there's a specific thing that will bring you pleasure, but you might feel ashamed of it, or there might be some stigma attached to it, then you don't want to tell your partner, you don't want to tell the person that you're with because you're scared of being judged. But the truth is that if you just come out with it, the chances of you experiencing that pleasure are much higher.
Yeah, absolutely. So we fear being revealed, and we fear the judgment of that enormously.
Definitely.
And that takes.
There's also an Sorry, John.
No, carry on.
There is an element of Bruce. You're talking about a lot of let's say aspects that has to do with the consequences. But what we're not looking at is also how much self-esteem. And how much, you know, you actually touched on it just now, on how much you need to be out of the box, how much you need to be your own fan, and to actually be aware that, yes, I am going to get hurt. Yes, most likely there's going to be awkward things, there's going to be pain, but I'm fine with it because I know it's inevitable. But I still want the pleasure. I still want it. I still want it. I want to enjoy it, one night stand. I want to take care of myself. I want to be safe. I want to tackle those fears. But I do want to have the pleasure.
So that's quite interesting, because the way that our mind works is that your mind has one job, essentially, which is survival. So it keeps us in a space that we know what we do, and we do what we know because it's safe.
Yes.
The interesting thing about that is that has nothing to do with happiness and fulfillment.
Yeah.
Because safety is you're doing what it is that you know. So you stay in a job that you know, you stay in a relationship that you know. Whether it makes you happy or not is totally secondary. So to start changing that, you actually have to move out of safety.
I love that.
That's a powerful. And, I love that.
For me, 28 has taught me that. 28 has taught me that my little safety zone is probably not the best thing for me. It's not. I have come so far out of my safety zone, and I'm at my happiest by doing so, by going, actually, no, that's not for me. And making that decision, I haven't implemented all of it, but knowing and realizing that this safety zone is actually not the one for me. I need to, the more I got out of it, the happier I become. The more accepting of whatever that's going to come, I am.
And then you realize that safety is such an illusion and so precarious as well. And in the last couple of years, our world has shown that on such a huge scale, you know, on such a financial scale, where people with so much lost everything, like instantaneously. Where we think relationships are strong, and we see how precarious so many relationships actually are. I see that so much in my work. So we have to be willing to step out of that safety to find happiness. And there's enormous fear in that, because it challenges everything that we know
that we've been
and
taught.
That we think we know. And that's more the key, what we think we know. And there's an amazing teacher, a guy called T. Harv Eker. And one of his seminars is, one of his talks is don't trust a thing that you think.
Don't trust a thing that you think. A single thing.
Don't trust any of your thoughts. Because they're simply a result of a pattern and conditioning. And, you know, Bruce Lipton talks about the fact that we are conscious about 5% of the day. 5% of the day we are making choices conscious choices about happiness, about what it is that we want. The rest of the time, we are simply running on a pattern.
Habit.
So if you are, if you're awake for 16 odd hours in the day, 5% of that you're actually conscious and engaging. Mm. The rest of it, you're simply doing what it is that you do.
Robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I just want to say, for clarity's sake, I mean, we're not saying that we're not encouraging unsafety. We're not saying that sex has to be unsafe. What we're talking about is emotional, you know, keeping yourself safe. We're saying that safer sex is obviously a good idea. Use the condom, use the lube, all that kind of stuff. That's not what we're saying. We're talking about a mindset.
Yes.
About making yourself vulnerable. And it's not about, you know, having bareback sex and going out there and challenging that safety. That's not what we're saying.
No.
Lucy, I'm just in love with you.
I just had to make that clear for the people at home. I can imagine the two of us getting wrapped across the knuckles, you know, like, are you telling people to have unsafe sex?
Yeah.
No.
But you're right in that it is a mindset.
Mm.
And part of that mindset is I need to be safe within myself.
Mm. Mm.
And this is the biggest thing, that we have put so much of our lives externally, where someone else is responsible for our pleasure. As you were saying, someone else is responsible for our happiness. Someone else is responsible for our intimacy.
Yes.
And that's a theme that's come up so much in my practice this week with people, is the realization that I am responsible for my intimacy.
That's right.
Mm.
I will be as intimate in any situation as I choose.
Correct.
If you match that, that's absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
But my intimacy is about me.
Mm.
So I will be as open as I am willing to be and as vulnerable as I am willing to be.
Mm.
And that puts me in a space that it's about me. So the only real safety is within myself. And I realized something in some conversations with my lover, that the depth that we go to is a total disappearance of ourselves. You can only really go to that place if you know the strength or the core within you is strong to be able to hold that. And in that, you can totally disappear because you can totally give yourself to someone.
But then, that's why you fear. So there's a fear of control, because you feel that if I get to that point where everything is let go and it's an extreme form of pleasure or a heightened sense of pleasure, you feel like you don't have any control of it. I'm talking from me, who's a bit of a control freak, in that that's one of my biggest problems, is that I want to control everything. And I fear not being able to control that heightened pleasure.
You're absolutely right, because in that heightened state, you actually start to become one with life and one with the universe.
Mm.
And what you think you have of as control totally disappears. You can only go to those places if you're willing to let that go.
So exactly.
You have to learn to do that kind of step by step.
Mm.
You know, you let go a little bit, because going from naught to 100% is absolutely going to blow you away. And it's something, again, this week I've been talking about it a lot. The basic idea is that change has, and the word I've been using is consequence, and I don't know if that's a good, it's just a word.
Mm.
Consequence is not good or bad. Consequence is not necessarily negative or positive.
Yeah.
But everything that we change has impact on our lives. Maybe that's a better word.
Yeah.
We will change to the degree that we are willing to have the impact of the change. Which means that because theoretically you could change everything in your life in 5 minutes. But the impact and the consequence of that is going to be enormous, because it's really going to turn everything upside down for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Your relationship, your job, your religion, the way you have sex, the way you think about money, the way you think about politics, the ecology, everything. And for so many of us, the power of that is just too much all at once.
Too much.
Mm. So we have to do that slowly.
One step at a time.
And then we build a foundation for it. But what's more important is why we have to do it slowly is for so many of us, change comes from a place of stress and trauma. Now, in South Africa, I think the level of trauma that we have lived with, all of us, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of the culture, we have lived in an incredibly traumatic society. You know, I think of what I grew up with, what I went through from my perspective. The impact of it's huge. Sebs, what you grew up with and what you went through being a black woman in South Africa. And the trauma of that on all of us is enormous. And then there's all of the personal stresses that we've lived with in our lives. When you try and change too much too quickly, everything just collapses and crumbles because there's no safety.
Yeah.
When you can do that slowly, you actually build a foundation for change. And trying to do too much too quickly can actually become very self-destructive. So you have to actually build that foundation and then...
Yeah, you can integrate.
That can become exponential. That you change that. So we need to go beyond the fear of change firstly. But if we can do that really slowly, things change in a way that all of a sudden I realize something's different. And I realize that I'm doing something differently and I'm thinking differently and I'm saying something different. And that builds for the next step and for the next step and for the next step. So to say that we can change everything in 5 minutes from a theory, absolutely, there's no question. But the impact of that change on us is going to be enormous.
It's almost destructive if you don't do it properly, if you don't do this step by step.
Yeah. And, you know, we have to really understand the role of stress in that, because most people come to a place of healing or wanting healing. And it's an interesting word because I'm really thinking about what that means at the moment, the word healing. But we come to it when we get to a crisis. When we get to the fact that my marriage is falling apart, I have to do something. So if we had a mindset of learning to be healthier in every level, to be more connected to life, to spend more time with nature, to be more aware of what's happening inside of us, if we did that more as a regular practice and we had that education, then change becomes a whole lot easier. And it's coming from a perspective not of pain, but from a possible pleasure. And not only sexual pleasure, but the pleasure of the fullness of being connected to all of life. And that makes it very different. So it's moving from a mindset of fear to a mindset of freedom. And we're actually not taught a mindset of freedom.
No, we're not.
We're definitely taught from the time we're small a mindset of fear.
I think what contributes to that a lot as well is, you know, the media, every second movie that and every second love song, you're expected that every time you have a sexual encounter with someone, there's going to be this amazing resonance and everything's just going to flow and it's going to be so amazing. And we're not prepared for these discordant moments. I mean, I remember in my early 20s, I had a lover and we were in this situation, we were playing, and I'm a playful person. I laugh easily and freely and I feel very comfortable in that situation. And I think we had a little moment where I think his elbow bashed me or something, but it was sort of slightly awkward, but we were playing, you know. For me it was like, we're having fun, we're having sex, we're playing. And I laughed and I didn't think anything of it, and he sort of froze and went like rigid and said, "What are you laughing at me?" And I said, "No, I mean, we're having fun. I'm having fun. And he sort of, for him, it was like, how dare I laugh at him? And he was so, I realized just how vulnerable he was and how insecure he was in that situation. And I also just had to let it go, because I was like, oh, this is really awkward. No, I wasn't laughing at you. It's a bit of a, like, okay, passion killer. But it was like, okay, we can have this awkward moment and just move on. And it's okay. The awkward moments happen. Not all of us can have this sort of romance novel cover experience where everything...
But do you want that romance novel experience? I don't know if that in any way connects you more with a person. I don't know.
I think it's just expectations. We think it's you meet somebody that you're attracted to, and I for myself, I've had these expectations that when we get together, he's going to understand me. He's going to know what I like. I'm going to know what he likes. Yeah. I'm going to push all his buttons.
The media have given us this bullshit. I mean, I remember a couple of weeks ago seeing a newspaper headline, "How We Avoid Day Zero." And, you know, it was about the water thing. It was in Joburg. I think it was just after I came back from Cape Town. So the situation there has changed radically.
Yeah.
But somebody, some journalist writes a newspaper headline, "How do we avoid day zero?"
Fear-mongering.
And that's all that it is. Mm. But our whole world really lives on fear. So when you want more freedom, you really have to detract from the fear.
Yeah.
And when you do want that freedom, you're seen as... I don't know what the right word is, but it's not other, but it's a negative thing.
Yeah.
It's a negative thing to fight for that freedom or to say, actually, I disagree with you completely.
And it's something I think that we've forgotten enormously is how to have a disagreement and how to have a discussion with the acknowledgement of someone else and the acknowledgement of their perspective.
Mm.
And I think social media has taken us away from kind of connected discourse.
Fear-mongering is such a big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, even in our industry with sexual health, we've got to find a gentle balance between saying, watch out for these STIs that are out there, but at the same time, creating the impression of being sex positive. You know, it's that whole, watch out, day zero is coming, but nobody's paying attention to day orgasm, you know? Mm. I mean, it's sort of shifting from what are we focusing on? And it's almost like we're making self-fulfilling prophecies because we focus on the wrong.
Yeah, and we focus so much on the problem more than the possibility.
Solution.
So because in our industry, sex is a great thing. Mm. Sex is amazing, right?
And we know that.
And we know that. And what we're trying to do is we're saying, have lots of sex, guys, but safely.
Mm.
And it's hard, as you say, to balance it without going, oh, but. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's a mindset, and I've come to see this. From a healing point of view, there are two theories of healing in the world. The first is a pain-based theory. The pain-based theory says that I heal from a place of pain, and all I'm concerned with is making the pain less.
Mm. Yeah.
So the example that I often use, which is easy to understand, if you have a sore knee, all that you want is your knee fixed.
Mm. Yeah.
So you go to the doctor or the physio or the acupuncturist or whatever you're going to do, but everything you're doing is compared to the pain.
Yes.
Is the pain less? Is the pain less?
Mm.
It's the pain. Mm. That's a contractive space.
Mm.
The expansive space of that says, if my knee wasn't sore, what could I do? So I could dance, like I'm going to dance in trance tomorrow night.
Mm.
I could go to yoga. I could get into all sorts of really cool sex positions.
Mm.
I'm looking at possibilities. We're not discounting the pain. We're not ignoring the pain. We're not repressing the pain.
Mm.
But we're saying that to change this, I need to shift a perspective.
And focus on the positive.
And create something that I might not know how it would look like without the pain, and it doesn't mean that I'm not going to get some kind of help for the pain, but there's more.
Mm.
And when we focus just on the problem and fixing the problem, we're in a particular mindset, we're in a consciousness. So I think it was Einstein said that a mind that created the problem does not have the consciousness to fix it. Or something like that, because the way that we work is in terms of patterns.
Mm.
So we're bringing the same thinking pattern instead of saying, I need to shift my perspective on this to be able to do it differently.
Sure.
What were you going to say there, Sibs?
No. I was just thinking of something that happened yesterday, which happened with my son, and he came to me and he said, you know, he's quite an emotionally aware child, and I encourage that. And he came and he started crying. I said, why are you crying? He said, you know, the teacher shouted at me today. And I said, okay, what happened? And he said, I'm not quite sure. And I said to him, okay, what happened between you and the teacher that was good today? And then he said, oh, this and this happened. And I said, so need to focus on the good things. This happened, that's fine. but you need to maybe see how you can elevate and amplify those good things. Mm. I'm sorry that this happened. I'm not saying it didn't happen. But let's find a way of amplifying those positive things instead of focusing. So instead of me saying to him, well, you should have, no. Mm. I said, no, all right. What happened that was positive? Let's focus on that.
Yeah. And when we do that, we're actually changing an energy frequency.
Mm.
And there is less space for the pain within us.
Mm. Mm.
Because the vibration of it changes. And it doesn't mean when you get to this place, and it's been coming up a lot recently, is this idea of enlightenment.
Mm.
You know, I remember a couple coming to see me a little while ago, and they're looking for enlightenment. And everybody in the world is looking for enlightenment. And there's an article that I posted, and I will put it up as a link after the show. And I called it Magic and Mystery. Mm. And it was the fact that everybody is looking for this enlightenment.
Mm. Mm.
And people think it's like this magic wand. You're going to get to this place, and everything is going to be absolutely fantastic.
Press the button.
Yeah. That's it.
And you're going to arrive, and you're going to wake up one morning enlightened.
Mm.
You are going to go and have an ayahuasca experience, and you're going to be enlightened.
Mm. Mind-blowing orgasm that connects you to the divine. Look, if anyone can do it, you and Tamar could do
it. There we go. And you're going to be enlightened.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the simple truth is, firstly, enlightenment is an ongoing experience.
Mm.
It's not a space you arrive at and everything is different. So
it's also fleeting, as far as I understand.
And there are days that, and I think Ken Wilber is a philosopher, and he talks about states of consciousness and stages of consciousness. So one of the aspects is that there are areas in our life where we are going to be much more connected and aware and conscious, and areas in our life where we are not.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some things we are going to be more enlightened about than others.
Makes sense.
And the other thing is that there are days where we are going to be more connected and enlightened, and days where we are not, because of being human. And things irritate us, and things frustrate us, and things make us angry, and people hurt us, and we hurt people. And everything about being human in this wonderful fucking human journey.
Yeah.
Which means it's all part of it. And there are days where I'm going to be much more connected and nice, and days where I'm going to be feeling sad and lonely and rejected and all of those things.
Yeah.
Even with enormous love around me.
Yep.
Because that's me.
Mm.
And I think I've come to see that the idea of enlightenment is I will be able to recognize where I am much more.
Mm.
I'll be able to own it and name it and acknowledge it.
Mm.
And I'll be able to feel it and not hold on to it, and it will move through me.
Yeah.
I think also an important thing to do is, you know, when you have those bad days, so we all know that we're human, we have our ups and downs, but we can't recognize it in another person. When another person is having a down moment, we can't go, oh, but they're human, they have their ups and downs. But we expect people to understand it when we're having a bad day, when we're being mean. We expect people to understand. But we don't have the same thing with other people.
So there's an interesting thing that's been discovered. And again, it comes down to energy and to the heart field.
Mm.
There are four emotions that create incredible coherence in our heart field and coherence between our heart and brain.
Mm.
Compassion, appreciation, caring. I've gone blank on the fourth one. Gratitude. Compassion, appreciation, caring, and gratitude.
Lovely.
So the compassion is I'm acknowledging what it is that you're feeling. I'm connecting with it.
Mm.
And that's what you're saying
there.
And the more that we live with that compassion, the more that we're living with that connection.
Yeah.
And then we understand that we are in that space. And I've come to see that every emotion has a contractive expression and an expansive expression.
Mm.
The contractive expression is when we get stuck in it.
Yeah.
So if you take anger as an example, when the contractive of anger is that I am an angry person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everything about me is angry, and everything that I'm doing comes from anger.
Mm.
The expansion of that is that I am angry, but I can use the anger to do something, to fuel something. I can name it. I can feel it. I can acknowledge it, but I'm not holding onto it. That's the difference. And in our world, you know, the emotions of anger, of bitterness, of frustration, of righteousness, of resentment, those are the ruling class.
Mm. Get in the way.
It's interesting.
You got to say more than that.
I'm listening. I'm mesmerized. You had like this most amazing speech, and I'm like, okay, I have to write everything down. So I'm a little bit in a.
I'll send you a link to the podcast. You can listen.
it's just wonderful because it keeps on just coming back to me. What's you know, the team that is sitting there, you know, that it, like we the brave and. You know, like they're sitting there thinking about the health and so many reasons to actually just to just advise and say, just be careful of this and that. And then when you focus on all these four elements of gratitude, care and all these wonderful things, you actually all the other things fall away. But you have to actually think for a moment. You actually have to stop and say, where am I coming from? Mm. What am I looking? Why am I looking for the experiences, the sexual experiences? Am I looking to please others? Am I looking to fulfill myself? What do I want to give in that sexual energy, you know, exchange?
Yeah, what's
so
my...
all these things are, yeah, all these things are coming in. You have to be a little bit more, you know, when you decide to start working out, you start working out. There's a million excuses why not to work out.
Mm.
The same comes with pleasure. If you decide to have sex, to be a sexual free person and to start demystifying those fears, then you have no other way than just starting to show up and finding your own true self.
I love that, Tamar, because it actually, as you say, if you have those five principles that Jonty mentioned now in place, then everything else starts falling into place on a very practical level. So what you do is you have to eliminate the fears so that you can enjoy the freedom. So, and whatever that looks like for you. So in our work that we do, we're constantly encouraging people, if they're HIV negative, go on PrEP, so that the chances of you having to face the fear of getting HIV is minimized. If you are HIV positive, we want you to go on ARVs so that you'll eventually become undetectable and you can't pass it on. And so that's just
eliminating that fear of
so that you can enjoy
else.
The freedom. Yeah. So that when you have sex, you don't have that shit in the back of your mind, like, oh fuck, you know, this, that, the next thing or whatever. If you've got a condom and lube on you, that you just eliminate the things that are holding you back. And those things that are holding you back are the self-judgments, the threats, the dangers. And if you can minimize those, then you can actually, the more you minimize those fearful elements, the more you're free to be to go out of your safe box, you know, and to experience more vulnerability and intimacy. And that's where the true magic is. Like anybody can stick their dick in a hole. But if you want to know what it feels like to make love to someone, to have somebody really feel and see you, that's another level. You know, I mean, I've had experiences where it's just been sex. I can't really remember those experiences, but there are a handful of experiences that I will carry with me for the rest of my life because they were so beautiful and they were meaningful to me. And I think that's, you know, do you just want a sexual experience or do you want something that you can hold on to?
But
I also believe that there are sexual experiences that are short-lived, that you still can hold on to.
Totally.
Sure. That you can go, I'm making a decision to have a one-night stand, and you still look back and go, wow, that was a really great decision.
Yeah, completely.
So I need to... There's a few things about what you said there. The first one is not everybody can stick their dick in a hole because...
Not everybody has a dick.
There we go.
No, this is true.
Yes. So, say thank you.
Thank you.
But
I had an image of me.
Well, there's pegging.
An image of me with a strap on there. I was like, no, oh,
it was like,
okay.
Pegging.
There we go.
You know, Tamar, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but turn that around, because sometimes somebody with a hole just wants something stuck in it.
Yeah.
And, And no, totally. It's the same thing.
Totally.
So just from the other...
Mm. Yeah, no, I was being crass.
Absolutely, yes. From the other perspective. No, you were being beautiful, because it's just as important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But essentially, what you're talking about is a pattern.
Mm.
And it's a pattern of beliefs that says that we're not educated for pleasure and for freedom. And the pattern of that extends into absolutely every area of our lives. And the interesting thing about when we start claiming more of our sexual freedom, we do start claiming more freedom in other ways from
completely.
Yes.
And that's one of the powers of conscious sexuality, when you start elevating and you start having different experiences that are not just about sex and orgasm.
Completely.
A very simple example of that is when you walk into the office in a really great mood. Everyone assumes that you had sex that morning.
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, think about it. Guess who got it all this morning? How many times do people, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, well, that's just you, because we know most mornings you have had sex. No, I often walk into the office in a good mood. Nobody assumes that about me, because everybody knows it's been a long, dry season. So maybe that applies to you.
But we all know you have hands.
Oh, yeah, but that's not the same thing. No, nobody.
You can make it the same thing.
Yeah, I wish that was the case, though. Yeah. I like your theory. Doesn't work for me, though.
But you're right. And it does change things on so many levels.
It changes your appearance, the way you feel. Everyone else can see it.
Yeah, because it does so much, not only to your physical body, not only to your hormones, not only to the chemicals of your body, but to your energy.
Mm.
And when you're having that really good sex, it opens your heart.
Mm.
And the more your heart opens, the more everything flows and the more you connect with life. And on a really practical level, because people think this is really airy-fairy stuff, heart energy, and your heart energy opens, and it's all wonderful, and raindrops, and what's
fairies.
It called?
Rainbows,
and fairies, and all the rest of it. But it's real.
Totally.
Because the things in your life that start to change, and the opportunities that come up, and the so-called synchronicities that start to come up, and the possibilities that start to open up, and the connections that happen in every way, because you're working and living in a different frequency.
Mm. Completely.
And it's to understand that everything in our world is an energy.
Mm.
So what energy are you stuck in? What energy are you living in?
Mm.
And if you're living in the energy of fear, like one of the things I stopped doing was I stopped listening to the news.
Mm.
Now, I understand it's important to know what's going on. I get that.
Yeah.
Mm.
But the fear of it and what it drags you into, where it becomes this all-consuming thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you know, there are certain radio stations that 24 hours a day, that's what they talk about.
Drama, yeah.
Mm.
So when that's what you're engaging with, it becomes really hard to live in a different frequency.
Mm. Mm.
Because that's what you're feeding.
I think also you should know what your fears are. We don't always know what our fears are, but I stupid example, yesterday turned on the radio and they were talking about ghosts, and I'm extremely scared of ghosts. And I love that show. I actually switched it off. I said, actually, Sib, this is not for you right now, hey? Put something else on. Because I said, no, I just want the freedom to be happy and to not be scared of stupid things. I know it sounds like a really stupid example and basic, but sometimes we know that we have the choice to switch it off or to not listen, and we still listen and we still go back. As Jonty says, he doesn't want to watch or listen to the news. We still listen. We still go, oh, you know, I heard on the radio just now. It's fine to know what's happening, but if this impacts you so negatively, why would you sit and listen and endure yourself to this?
Yeah, I think that's beautiful, because you have a choice. Whatever's going to happen in your life for the next 5 to 10 minutes, you have a choice. Yeah.
There's an amazing cartoon that says a lot. It's about the impact of terrorism on our world. And it's a guy who's saying, oh, there's terrorism. And what can I do to lessen the impact of terrorism? And somebody comes along and switches his TV off.
Hmm.
It makes a lot of sense to me.
Change the channel. That's what you're doing. You know, one of my favorite thinkers is a guy called Tom Chi. And in one of his talks, he talks about the purpose of life. And he said, the purpose of life is to further life.
Mm.
So I think about that, and I think, so what are you bringing to life in any given moment?
Mm.
Mm.
Are you bringing your fear? Are you bringing your frustration? Are you bringing your anger? Are you bringing your separation? Mm. Are you bringing your righteousness?
Yeah.
Or are you bringing your connection? Are you bringing your compassion? Are you bringing your kindness? Are you bringing your growth? And being enlightened does not mean that you don't get angry.
No.
It's how you express the anger that becomes different. And do you see your anger as being part of life and part of the world?
Mm.
And, you know, 2 weeks ago when we did these beautiful sweats at Tamar and York's Lodge, and one of the most amazing things was the connection to everything.
Mm.
That's what we are a part of. We're not separate. We're not separate from each other.
Mm.
We're not separate from nature. We are connected in this amazing and beautiful journey and web of life.
Yep.
And our world thrives on separation and disconnect.
Yes.
Because
Then I'm right and you're wrong, and your group is wrong, and my God is right and yours isn't.
Yeah.
And my God has all the answers and yours doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be fascinating to have all these different gods, and you can imagine them like sitting around a table having coffee, laughing themselves stupid at this.
What part of I am love don't you understand?
Yeah.
I think I love this analogy because a lot of people what you just spoke now about Tamar and York's retreat, a lot of people would probably see the time that you spent in that sweat lodge as being disconnected from reality, as woo-woo, you guys have no idea what's really going on in the world. But the image that pops into my mind is, if there was a meteor headed towards Earth right now that was going to completely eliminate all of us, okay, most people think they'd like to know about it, you know, so it's on the news, you have like 15 minutes to live. Would you rather spend those 15 minutes absolutely terrified, full of anxiety about this impending doom? I personally would have preferred to spend those 15 minutes in a sweat lodge, connected to everything, until such time as I was completely pulverized.
And I have to tell you, there's not a whole lot more real than really sitting on the earth with the fire and feeling that.
Yeah.
And coming out and feeling the breeze on your skin. And seeing the zebra that are there, and seeing the faces of the people that you've shared with. There's not a whole lot more real than that.
Mm. Yeah.
As opposed to all of the other bullshit around.
Sitting in your car in traffic.
That's it.
Stressing.
Yeah, or being in, you know, walking around Sandton and looking at all of the labels of all of the clothes. And
if you're skinny enough, or you're going to be.
And these are better because
I'm going to be up with 5 kilograms less to go, you know.
Sorry.
This is a shout out also for women and men that are sitting with sexual pain or sitting with big sexual fears around trauma, around bad experience they had in the past, about pain they have while having sexual intercourse, or any kind of thoughts about being dysfunctional when it comes to sex. It can be changed.
It can
really be changed. It's a matter of mindset and a shift and some healing around it, and it's a great place to start, where you go and get some information.
Completely.
And you go to a good therapist or a sex coach or a conscious sexual therapist, and you really go and you give yourself that healing, because you're not supposed to carry it.
I see that every day in my practice, and at the moment, the work I'm doing and what I'm seeing with people in terms of possibilities. And I have to say this, because I saw something on, it was a Twitter profile of somebody who fixes broken hearts and relationships.
Wow, that's a pretty big claim to fame.
Yeah, I don't fix or heal.
It comes with penis enlargement.
Yeah. I don't fix or heal anybody. You do the work.
Mm.
All that we can do as healers, teachers, guides, whatever it is that we want to call ourselves, all we just do is help you and give you some ideas and give you possibilities. And this is how you could do that. And maybe here's an insight, or here's an understanding, or here's a perspective. And you are going to heal and fix yourself.
Yeah.
Don't look for anybody else to do it, because it's about you. And you're going to change your life, and you're going to heal your heart.
Mm.
And from my point of view, I'm going to help you in every way that I can. But you're the one going to do it.
The hard work is still rests with you.
Yeah. And that's what this magic and miracles article was about.
Yeah.
You do your work and things will change, and you will heal, and you will grow, and you will expand, and you will change your life.
Mm. Yeah. But you can reach out and you can ask for help, which is important.
It's vital because we can't do it on our own.
Yeah.
None of us.
Because I think one of the things that I feel that in this country particularly, well, I think most countries, but a lot of guys need to be aware that you are not just your penis. You're so much more. So the size of your penis does not determine...
You've just destroyed me in like three words.
You are not your penis.
You are not your penis. You are more than your penis. So it's like that I am not my hair. You know, it's the same thing. And we live in a country where there's a lot of incidents of men who have been, you know, have had botched circumcisions. It's more common than you think. And things go wrong. And men literally lose half to all their penises due to complications. This is a very, very common occurrence in our country.
I got an email from somebody a few weeks ago. They had a circumcision.
Yeah.
Something's gone totally wrong. He cannot get an erection after that. He still didn't come to see me, but...
And erectile dysfunction, currently in society, it's on the rise because of cholesterol, because of stress. It's happening more and more and more. So we as men with penises have to start looking beyond putting all of our sexual prowess and self-worth into this phallic object that happens to hang for 15, 16 hours a day between our legs.
And women's yonis, the amount of pain and tension and dryness and anorgasmia and fear, all sorts of things. It can all be different.
Yeah.
Mm. And we all need help. Me, I'm here to help. It's what I wake up for in the morning. And I ask, what can I contribute? How can I bring something to life that will make it more? Guys, this has been really amazing. Thank you. We need to talk more about this.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And the dirty dictionary is?
Trypsolagnophilia is a fetish for giving and receiving massage.
Oh.
Now, why you gotta, I was the clue.
No, why you gotta use all big words like that? Just say, I like massage, you know. Can I just ask if anybody would like access to care? Can I just, we have a number called Call for Care if you'd like to get any information about a clinic near you, where to get PrEP, where to take PEP, all of those kinds of things. You can phone 071-683-3226. 071-683-3226. Thanks, Jonty.
And wethebrave.co.za.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. This has really been awesome. So some really cool things are coming up, which you are both invited to, by the way.
Awesome.
On the 23rd of October, 2 weeks' time, we are doing a water flow massage. That's in Johannesburg.
I've done that before. I love it.
We are not doing water flow massage in Cape Town. But on the 27th of October in Cape Town, I am doing a sensual massage workshop.
Oh, it's Pride Day.
One whole day.
So we'll be working that day.
In Cape Town.
Cape Town.
And that's available to people from all orientations and backgrounds.
Woohoo!
And even though it's for partners, if you don't have a partner, we will try and find somebody for you to enjoy the experience with. It's not a sexual massage day.
Sensual.
Beautiful, safe, intimate, really gentle and boundaried space.
Really.
On Thursday, the 25th of October, I'm doing, for the first time in a long time, an expanded orgasm workshop in Cape Town. Expanded orgasm is one of the most amazing ways that you can change your sexual patterns. It is such an incredible experience to allow you to change your sexual patterns. There is no nudity on the workshop.
Wow.
You come and you're going to learn all about what this expanded orgasm thing is, how it relates to the patterns of our sexuality and how you can use it to change the patterns. And you can do this on your own. So it's a workshop that has so much information in it. It's mind-blowing. And in one evening, literally, you can learn to change enormous aspects of your sexual patterning.
So how do they get a hold of you?
On eroslife.co.za. Thank you so much for that. the events are up on Facebook. Tamar, thank you very, very much.
Love you, Tamar.
Thank you.
I really miss you.
I'm looking forward for the inner twerking video, by the way.
I was looking forward to seeing you.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll send you privately a picture, okay?
Okay.
And we wish you all so much pleasure.
Cheerio.
This is CliffCentral.com.